Good morning. It is now 10:07 a.m. We are here today, August 9, 2016, in the OPA hearing room, Suite 907 of the DNA building in Hagatna, Guam, for the formal hearing continuation of OPA PA 16-003 and 16-005, TLK Marketing versus the Guam Visitors Bureau. Presiding over the hearing today are Hearing Officer Peter C. Perez and Public Auditor Doris Flores Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Yuka Hachinova and Jarek Hernandez. Will Appellant TLK please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. Joyce Tang and Joshua Walsh for TLK with me. Our staff is Fitzpatrick and the representative of TLK, Mr. Lee Henry.
Thank you. Will Purchasing Agency GBB please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yes, good morning. My name is Thomas Fisher. I'm an attorney representing the Guam Visitors Bureau. Currently on the stand is institutional representative, the general manager of GBB, Mr. John Nathan Denite.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Denite, as a reminder, you're still under oath.
Yes, sir.
I believe we're on Mr. Fisher's cross-examination. Is that correct, Ms. Tang?
No, I think we were at the tail end of my examination.
Okay.
This was marked. We'll go ahead and do that. Is this marked? I'm just double-checking if we marked this. Okay. So I think this would be 34. Exhibit 34.
And is this a new exhibit? Or was it in your original
plan? No, it was, yeah, because it came out. Thank you.
Shall I? Oh, yeah, you have that, but we didn't mark it. We did mark it. Shall I? You want to just put the exhibits on the table for him?
Yeah. It's already in your file.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I just wasn't sure if it needed it.
Yeah.
Right.
TLK failed to pay certain vendors?
Yes.
Okay. And do you recall which period those vendors' invoices were for?
The specific periods?
Yep.
I don't know. I need the documentation.
Okay. Do you recall if there are still outstanding vendors as of February 20, 2016? Outstanding invoices due to vendors billed as of February 20, 2016.
You mean as not paid by TLK?
That's correct.
Are you referring to what's on this letter?
No, I'm just referring to GVB's allegations that TLK failed to pay vendors.
Objection. It's a mischaracterization of the evidence.
I'm not sure what you're doing.
Can you elaborate on
it? Yes. The allegation is not that TLK failed to pay the vendors. The allegation is that TLK did not pay the vendors until it was discovered by the Guam Visitors Bureau that they had not paid. After they were essentially busted, they did pay the vendors.
Okay. Do you want to rephrase?
I don't think it's necessary. I think my question is pretty clear. I think he's arguing. So.
Okay. So let me deal with the
question.
Let me deal with the objection.
Yes.
So, I'll allow the question. Please proceed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Denite. Can you please answer the question?
Sure. We have received letters from several vendors in Korea, subcontractors or other people that were owed money by TLK. We researched this, saw that we had been invoiced by TLK for these out-of-pocket reimbursements, and we had paid TLK, and the TLK had not paid these vendors, even though they had submitted invoices which said that they had paid these vendors.
Okay, so when they submitted invoices, you're talking about invoices that TLK submitted to GBB?
Yeah, they submit for reimbursement of out-of-pocket expenses, and when they submit those, that means that they have paid these out-of-pocket expenses. So what we're finding is, for example, we attend expos in Korea, trade expos, such as Korea, KOTFA, Korean Outbound Travel Fair, and another one's called Busan International Travel Fair. So we go every year to these expos, and there's a fee to attend the expo. So what had happened was we got noticed that these expos hadn't been paid by TLK for some time, even though GBB had paid. And then there's other travel agent partners that were also sending us notice. And our first notice came through the office of Senator Barnes, who had received some letters from these travel agent partners that had not been paid by TLK.
Okay. Where do you have this understanding that once they submit the invoices, that's a representation that they've been paid? And just tell me where that source of that information comes
from. In the contract.
In the contract with HIC? With TLK?
Yes.
Okay. And if you don't pay, if GVB doesn't pay, then pay the invoices, then what happens?
What do you mean?
What happens if TLK doesn't get paid for its invoices? Is TLK supposed to pay these vendors too if they don't get paid from GVB?
Well, the process is it's out-of-pocket reimbursement. So they pay, TLK pays, and then they submit the invoice and that they paid, representing that they paid these, and then we reimburse them for that payment. That's the process. So I mean, I don't see how. What do you mean? And then if GBB doesn't pay the reimbursement, I mean, that's a different kind of issue.
Could I just interject here,
yeah.
Ms. Tang, if you don't mind, because I am curious as to the process.
Mm-hmm.
You said these are out-of-pocket expenses?
Yep.
So, like, when you go to Korea for a next travel fair, okay, you're going to incur, someone's going to incur various
mm-hmm.
expenses, right, you know, for the setup, the fees, as you mentioned. Those are considered out-of-pocket?
Correct.
Okay, so what is the understanding, or to the best of your knowledge, as to does those vendors go directly to GVB, or are they supposed to go directly to TLK? That's my question.
Oh, yeah, no, ma'am, they go directly to TLK.
Okay.
TLK in this case would pay those out-of-pocket expenses
uh-huh.
and then submit the invoice to GVB, with the proof that they paid.
Was there, I'm not saying there was or wasn't.
Yeah.
There could be a misunderstanding. The vendor thought he should go directly to GVB as opposed to, let's say, going directly to TLK. Is that a possibility?
No.
All the vendors know they're supposed to go to the marketing agency.
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, we've been going to, like, for example, the Korean Travel Expo for 20 years.
Okay.
Process we've been doing.
Okay, so all vendors are supposed to work directly with the marketing person, and then the marketing firm is supposed to take care of all of those expenses, and GVB reimburses, though TOK is then to submit for reimbursement those expenses.
Correct.
Okay, so in this particular instance, what happened? If you could explain.
Yeah, so.
And I apologize. I'm still having a cold. I'm still having hard of hearing.
I'll speak up.
I apologize.
Yeah, so I, I think it was first we received, GBB received some letters from our oversight chair, Senator Barnes, from some Korean, I believe they were travel agencies that were saying GBB hadn't been paying them what they were owed.
See, that's why I was concerned. You're saying GBB
Korea, I mean, which was TLK at the time.
Oh, GBB Korea.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And so we communicated with Henry and TLK and let them know about it. And then I think we got word, you know, we wanted to make sure that our subcontractors or these people that are doing business with GBB Korea were getting paid, you know, to do due diligence. So we reached out to some of them, and we were finding that some hadn't been paid. Like, for example, the ones that stick out my mind, these Korean expos, for 6 months after the expo. This Busan one was a year after the expo. But we had already paid TLK for the fees related to these shows. So obviously that's not the process. You know, we are reimbursing out-of-pocket expenses. We were not
fronting. When you said you had paid TLK for their fees, you had paid them for the fees? What about the out-of-pocket expenses?
I'm sorry, the out-of-pocket expenses.
You had paid them.
Yeah, we had reimbursed TLK for these out-of-pocket expenses. So they, you know, they represented to GBB that, okay, we paid all the fees related to these travel shows, or we had paid these travel agents as part of our marketing co-op. They submitted those, we paid them. And then they were complaining to us that they didn't get paid, but then when we looked, GBB said, hey, we have paid these invoices to TLK. So that's what we were finding. I don't have the exact spreadsheet in front of me, but there was, I mean, it was more than, I think, 10 cases that we just discovered.
More than 10 cases.
More than 10, yeah.
That there was delay in payments, even though GVB had reimbursed TLK for those
expenses.
For those
Correct,
expenses.
And I mean, from my, you could probably talk more to my Korea staff, but in the market, the Korean travel industry, there was talk that, you know, GVB is slow to pay or doesn't pay, you know, which was hurting our reputation.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
Were there instances of non-payment in addition to delayed payment?
Yeah, there were some people, so we brought it up to TLK, and several of those invoices, you know, they got paid, like, you know, within the next couple of days or so. But I think my staff said they're still finding people that are owed some money.
Even now?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. I just wanted to understand the process.
Here, Exhibit 35, which is the TLK contract. Are you sure one copy? Oh, actually, I need that because that's the exhibit. Sorry. Mr. Denai, direct you to page 3, section e-voices. Do you see that?
Section 3, what page, Miss?
Page 3, section E as in A.
Okay, thank you.
Please take a moment to read those two paragraphs. Are you done?
Yep.
Okay. You agree with me, there's nothing in section E that says the invoices submitted by TLK represents that these invoices of vendors had been paid at the time they submitted the invoices to TLK, I mean to GVB. Is that correct?
In section E?
Yes.
Specifically?
Yes.
I don't see that.
Okay.
Language.
And to the complaints about TLK's non-payment of invoices, did you receive these complaints after the protests were filed?
the letters from Senator Barnes, I'm not too sure exactly when we received them, but it was early in this year.
Okay. It was after the protest was filed, correct?
I just said I'm not too sure exactly when it was, but it was early in the year.
Okay. And other complaints that you referred to, when were these complaints made?
The complaints from Senator Barnes, that she forwarded the letters.
You had testified that there were numerous complaints.
Yeah, she sent numerous letters to us from several travel agents that haven't got paid.
She meaning?
Senator Barnes.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. And have they since been, you, I think you testified that TLK paid them the next few days after they received them, correct?
I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but I think they ended up paying some of them, yeah.
Okay. Did you determine whether the rest have been paid?
I'd have to talk to my team if they were, the rest have been paid, but.
Do you recall in GVB's briefing that in a footnote in one of its, or two of its briefing, I think the hearing brief, that these were paid after we were notified, but they just, GVB just wanted to bring it up? Do you remember that? In GVB's filing?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you recall in GVB's hearing brief?
Okay.
It stated that these payments were made, these vendors were paid. Do you recall that?
I don't recall, but you have it specifically.
Have you seen GVB's hearing brief?
Sure.
Okay, do you remember a footnote?
I don't remember a footnote.
You don't remember a footnote?
Specifically.
No. Okay, you don't remember any statement about...
Excuse me, I'm sorry, let me finish my statement.
Let me finish.
The objection, I'm looking at the hearing brief. I assume it's the same one filed.
Just state the objection without...
Okay, it's a mischaracterization of the hearing brief. There's no footnote in there.
Okay. So Ms. Tang, I think I understand where you're going with this.
Yes, the agency report.
Yeah, so I think you can argue it, and I think his testimony he doesn't remember. But
all right.
I think you can argue
I'll move
it.
On.
I just have to clarify, it's not in the hearing brief.
It's an agency report.
And she's changed her representation now.
I mean, both of you will have the opportunity to argue this. But the witness doesn't recall.
Thank you. Mr. DeKnight?
Yes, ma'am.
Referring you to Exhibit 34, the letter to Ms. Barrett, the AG, Barrett Anderson?
Yep.
Okay. Who drafted this letter?
Objection, privilege.
To the extent, I'm asking you who drafted it, not about any communications you may have had with counsel?
That entails a potential communication with counsel.
To the extent that your response would reveal an attorney-client communication, you don't have to answer, but otherwise you can answer the question.
And if Mr. Fisher drafted it, that's not privileged. The fact that he prepared it is not privileged. His communications with Mr. DeKnight is privileged if it involved legal advice. So I think for purposes of this question, I'm simply asking, who drafted it?
Let me ask you this question. Did anybody other than counsel draft this?
No, sir.
Okay. So please move on.
Thank you. And do you recall when you receive a draft of this letter?
No, ma'am.
Was it on or about July 1st, 2016?
What do you mean a draft?
Well, okay, so you reviewed, did you draft this letter?
Did I draft this letter?
Yes.
Is that the same? I work with legal counsel on it.
Okay, and when did you have a chance to review it before you signed it?
Of course.
Okay, do you remember when you received a draft of it?
I do not.
Do you think it was on or about the time you signed it?
Objection. I've got to renew the attorney-client privilege here. This is the process that she's asking about.
So So I think what she wants to know is, when did you first see the letter before you signed it?
I don't recall exactly.
So when did you, what date did you sign it?
I would assume July 1st or thereabouts.
And do you have any reason to believe that it would be a date other than that?
No, sir.
I appreciate that. But I think we've got to make clear that you just can't simply, you know, counsel can't simply assert the privilege on everything and every communication. It's true that communications are privileged, not if they're talking about FESPAC and how much fun they had. Just because they had communication doesn't make it privileged. If legal advice was given, then that's privilege. Now, if he met with with counsel, that fact, he met with them on this date at 2 p.m., that's not privileged. What they discussed was privileged. So, you know, I appreciate what you're asking, but I want to make it very clear that they can't, you know, expand the scope of privilege where it doesn't exist, and that's what they're trying to do.
And that's fine, and we'll deal with Mr. Fisher's objections as to privilege as they come. But, I mean, is there something that you're trying to ascertain?
No, I just want to avoid a situation where, you know, they raise privilege without understanding how privilege works, and that's what we're dealing with, and it's not correct.
I'm just trying to keep it moving, and I agree with you.
I appreciate
we don't want to, you know, have privilege objection be overused or abused.
Okay. With that,
we don't want to have to break to unnecessarily to argue an objection and research it. So,
I appreciate that, but I think it's basic, not to you, but I think as to counsel. All right. So moving on, Mr. Denai. You signed this letter on July 1st, 2016, Exhibit 34, correct?
As I testified before, thereabouts, I don't know the exact date when I signed it.
Okay, and was this, to your best recollection, delivered to Ms. Anderson, the AG, on that day?
Thereabouts.
Okay, how was it delivered?
I'm not 100% sure, but probably through courier.
Hand delivery?
To my letter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. And have you spoken to the Attorney General in connection with this letter?
I have not.
Has she responded to your letter?
Not to my knowledge.
And has she responded to anyone at GVB with respect to the matters raised in this letter?
Has she responded? No.
Has anyone?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Has anyone else in the AG's office, other than the AG herself, responded to the matters raised in the July 1st, 2016 letter?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Focusing on the letter.
Mm-hmm.
Paragraph 2, please, states, in the course of the protest and appeal, as well as before, GVB came into possession of information that TLK has disregarded certain contract requirements, had made misrepresentations, which caused GVB to pay over money that was unearned. The sentence, are you referring to the payments that you earlier testified about, the reimbursements that were submitted by TLK that GVB claimed was not paid to vendors?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. As a result, I believe there is probable cause to find that TLK's action constitutes serious breach of contract as well as civil and criminal fraud. Can you tell me why you believe, what facts you believe support a claim of civil and criminal fraud?
Yeah, exactly what I was explaining earlier. So they were submitting invoices for reimbursement, but they hadn't paid the contractor or the travel show or the travel agent in that case for reimbursement. And, in certain cases, when we say they were prepaying anyway, you know, sometimes they wouldn't, they got the check, they didn't even pay the people until when they did pay, you know, up to a year later. So, you know, either way, it's not good for good business practice.
the misrepresentations that you're referring to here in paragraph two, sentence or sentence.
Yes.
You are, GVB in this letter is referring to the misrepresentations that regarding the submission of invoices. So when TLK submitted invoices to GVB, you believe that it was a misrepresentation because the submission is evidence in your mind, of GVB's mind, that it had been paid, right?
Correct.
And that is erroneous because that's not what the contract, the TLK contract says, correct?
Objection, argumentative.
Please answer.
I believe it is in the contract.
Which contract?
With TLK.
Okay, that's exhibit, let's go to exhibit 33. Can you show me where in the contract it says that? Excuse me, 34.
35.
Can you show me where in the contract that says upon submission of invoices by TLK that constitutes a representation that all payments have been made?
Is this the entire contract?
This is the entire contract.
It is, objection, it is not the entire contract.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the entire.
Where is it? This is the entire contract. There is an amendment that had nothing to, let me finish, please, stop interrupting. That has to do with, I believe, unrelated matters, and I'm happy to print that out for you. But show me where in this contract, this is the primary contract, the main contract, show me where in this contract, Exhibit 35, it says that submission of invoices is the equivalent of a representation that they have been doing.
Renew my objection. This contract specifically incorporates by reference the request for proposal as well as the scope of services.
He has an opportunity to cross-examine, and I think he should use that chance.
This is an objection.
Let me address the objection. The way that we'll handle this is your response was you believe that it's in the contract. Ms. Tang is asking you to show where in the contract. Your belief is it's in the contract. I don't think you're able to show where in the contract it specifically says that, right?
But I don't think this is the whole contract. There's more documents.
The basis of your response is, that's the basis of your response.
Yes.
Okay, so please move on.
Okay, so just to confirm, Exhibit 35, understanding that you don't think this is a complete contract, is there any provision in Exhibit 35 where it states that such a representation is made when TLK submits its invoice?
Yeah, for example, this contract period be for 1 year.
I'm sorry, can you identify the page?
I'm sorry. What I'm trying to say, this is, and to your specific question, one more time. Yes, a specific question.
I understand the objections regarding this contract.
Yeah.
With respect to Exhibit 35, where in this document does it say that when TLK submits its invoices to GVB, that the equivalent of representing that all vendors have been paid?
Sorry, I'm just gonna see something.
So Ms. Tang, remember the person you're trying to persuade is the public auditor, right? So I'm not sure you need really to get him to point out that it doesn't say that, because I think it's pretty clear it doesn't specifically say that.
Okay.
I would object to that. I'm sorry.
But you're going to argue that...
Well, no, sir. It's in paragraph E.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
He may cross-examine his witness, right. I think, at that point.
So your objection is that... Do you have an objection?
I do.
What should be objection?
I'll just reiterate. This is not the entirety of the contract.
Okay.
Without
arguing, okay.
Right, okay. And we think, well.
So that objection, the ruling on that objection will be deferred pending your ability to cross-examine on that issue.
Thank you.
Moving on. Mr. Denai, can you go to Exhibit 26, please? I'm sorry. In the bundle of documents.
26, you said?
Yes, please.
Towards the back?
I think so.
I would say it's about near the end.
It might have been a separate item.
I think 26 was included.
It's still in there.
Yes, it's one of the last, I think. Near the bottom. It would be near the bottom. It's the March, June 1st, 2016 letter with our letter head on.
Start the end.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I found it.
Okay. Okay, ready?
Yes.
All right. So, do you recall receiving this letter?
Yes, ma'am.
And this was a letter that I sent to you requesting for payment for TLK's services, for services performed in March 2016.
Yes.
And that was the last month that TLK performed services, correct?
Yes.
All right. And can you please review the attached invoice? So, is there any statement in this invoice that represents any representation by TLK in this invoice that stated that it has paid for these expenses of various vendors?
Well, normally to the invoice, we would get more than this with supporting documents as to the specifics, you know.
Right, but please answer the question.
Yeah, what's your question?
My question is there any representation by TLK in these two invoices that it has paid these vendors?
Which vendors?
Let's look at expenses for retainer. You have the page, the first page of invoice.
Well, the retainer fee wouldn't be out-of-pocket reimbursement.
I'm sorry, the expenses for retainer. You've got various expenses, sales calls, meetings, maintenance, right? And then you've got PR expenses underneath that. You see that? Those are expenses, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any representation that they've been paid?
That's what I'm saying, in the supporting documents, like the actual, you know, so we don't just pay without
supporting
documents.
No, I understand. Please just answer the question. The question specifically is there any representation in this invoice that TLK is representing that it paid these vendors for expenses?
Yeah. When they invoice us for out-of-pocket reimbursements, they're representing that these have all been paid.
So that's your belief?
Yeah.
Okay, but it's not in this document.
Was that the course? Was that the course of conduct? Was that the course of standard practice?
Yes.
Over what period of time?
All periods of time.
You would be specific.
I would just say when GDB, the way we work with our contractors is that they're for the out-of-pocket reimbursements that were they've been paid.
Before they invoice it?
Exactly.
And you agree with Ms. Tang, though, that it doesn't specifically say that they're representing that these amounts have been paid, but your response to that, well, first of all, you agree that it doesn't say that, right?
You mean like the words, these have been paid?
Right.
On this paper?
Right.
Yes.
There's not anything that's saying it's a specific representation that it's been paid, other than the figures that are there. They're not saying we've paid these amounts to vendors and worse. I think that's what you're trying to establish, right?
Yeah.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Well, I'm just saying, in my reading of it, that these would be paid, because that's our process. But if you're asking me specifically if there's language here that says these have been paid, I don't see it here on this paper.
But your interpretation of the document, based upon your experience in the practice, is that this means that these are reimbursables that have already been paid.
Correct, sir.
Can I follow up on that line of questioning? Because if the retainer fee is $20,000, and I don't know what size business he is, okay? Does he have the capital wherewithal to pay? Because almost $90,000 is out-of-pocket expenses. He's only getting $20,000, and then all these expenses, you know, so from a capital point of view, that's hard for a small vendor to pay $90,000 first and then wait for you to reimburse. You know, so is that how this is? The vendor is supposed to pay this first and then get reimbursed from DVB?
That's correct, ma'am.
Oh, okay. So it's from, just to be clear, your process and process is different from, from the contract. How we process payments may not necessarily be consistent, and that's not to say it's irregular, okay? How we process versus what the contract says could be different, because process is just a procedure, all right? So your procedures, separate from your contract, okay, your procedures, what is the understanding of how you make payment, just to be clear?
Yes, so they would submit this invoice with the supporting documents.
So all these vendors like KGTC or Korea Marketing Activity Sales would have submitted to TLK their request for payment of $4,000 or whatever.
Yeah, so they'd have invoices attached to this from, for example,
from all of them
to show.
Okay, would they necessarily be marked pay?
I'd have to check with my.
Okay, so invoices are attached like this $18,000 from Travel Agency Co-op Promotions. Okay, invoices would all be attached to support each one of these.
Correct.
Yes. So this is an invoice that is dated April 1st. When do you normally pay your bills? Within 30 days, 60 days? Because, Guam has a reputation. It doesn't pay its bill until 120 days.
Oh, yeah. So, no, we pay very quickly. And we realize that, our third-party vendors or our contractors are paying out of pocket.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that they, we want to pay on time so that
sure.
they can pay their vendors on time and people aren't waiting. That's why.
This April 1 invoice is not stamp dated as to, because usually when we get an invoice, we stamp it to say date received. So like we got an invoice from somebody a year ago. I said stamp it now because they just, oversight. So this would normally be let me rephrase. Does GVB normally stamp date received on invoices?
I would have to check with my team, but we receive it electronically, so we would know when it came in through the email.
Okay.
But we did go through an exercise of, for example, on when those people that reached out that hadn't been paid, we kind of did an exercise where we saw, okay, this is when TLK submitted the invoice to us. This is when GVB paid. And then when some of them did get paid, we saw how many months later they did get paid. So we were paying, in 30 days, so we're not.
What is your delegation of authority? Like in my office, because we're a small office, okay, over a certain amount, and is it 10,000? About 5,000, okay. Over staff can process any invoice over 5,000, because we very rarely get a bill of more than $5,000. So what is GVB's process? And I have to then sign off to approve a bill that's greater than that amount. So what is GVB's process? Hierarchy of who pays, who's authorized to pay at this level, let's say 10,000, 100,000. 100,000 to me is a big bill.
Yep.
Uh-huh. So what is your process? Do you recall?
Well, we have committees, so there's a Korean marketing committee.
Okay.
So they set the budget and the budget categories, and, as long as we spend within those budget categories.
So would someone from the Korea committee actually sign to approve this?
No, I approve it.
You would approve it?
Within those spending limits set by the committee in those categories. So, for example, they would set the Korea budget with PR and sales activities, and if you spend in that, then no need to go back. If you need to go back, then you have to go back to the community.
So assuming, and I'm not this invoice was received on or about April 1. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just assume. When would GVB, quote, normally?
Yeah, normally we pay within 30 days. Or very quick.
So that would have been by April 30th?
Correct.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. That's April 30th, so May 31st, so this is June 1st, so somehow this one didn't get paid.
Well, this is their last billing from TLK.
Okay.
And at this time, we were trying to work with them on the transition to the to the other company. TLK did not cooperate or provide any of our information. You know, my team set a plan for the transition.
Okay.
To do a successful handoff, a complete handoff. They did not complete any of the tasks.
Okay, so that was the
we're
delay.
Still representing that they represented GVB up until, so we were sort of
holding back
on the last payment until we did a successful transition, which up to this point still hasn't occurred.
Okay, so you're saying up to this point it still hasn't transitioned well?
No.
Okay. So has any portion of this bill been paid?
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge.
It's still outstanding. Okay, because you're still trying to resolve things.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
One other question. Would the invoicing firm include in its support documents proof that it paid the vendor? So would TLK show that it paid its vendors when it would seek reimbursement?
I would have to check, sir. I'm not too sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Stanley.
Thank you. Mr. Denai, I think you testified that GVB is trying to work things out with TLK with respect to last payment, that is, okay, the March payment, 2016 payment, $110,000, that GVB was trying to work things out on transition. So are you specifically referring to some specific documents or information that GVB what are you referring to?
Yes, so specifically our marketing manager, Pilar de Guanya, and then with our marketing officer, Gina Kono, handle Korea. And so they had sent a transition plan to TLK. And to my knowledge, they were reporting to me that TLK did not cooperate with that transition plan. And that's why they were not processing this last invoice till those items were done.
Can I direct you to Exhibit 35, the contract? And I would like you to go to page 35, this is the contract page. On page 13, and it's Roman numeral 28. Can you please read the first paragraph?
Roman numeral...
I'll just read it. 28. It says, all plans, outlines, sketches, photographs, artwork, videos, and all other property and materials, collectively the work product, which are produced by reason of this agreement, shall be the property of GVB as soon as payment for them has been made by GVB, except as agreed to by the parties. In the event of an earlier termination of this agreement, work product created but unpaid by GVB at the time of the termination shall be the property of contractor unless GVB pays for them in accordance with the terms of this agreement, even if GVB or another party has physical possession of them. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. So did you pay the March invoice? Did GVB pay the March invoice?
No.
It did not. So pursuant to 28, paragraph 28, TLK has the right to withhold until payment is received, correct?
No. I mean, we're talking about 1 month of 8 years of work they've been doing for GVB, so I don't think in that 1 month they did all the property, all the things they did for GVB weren't produced in that 1 month. So, I mean, if you want to prorate the 1 month for the 8 years of service.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Denai, are you aware of any contractual obligation on TLK's part to advance expenses or cost triple or quadruple the fee that it receives? Would you like me to restate it? Is that okay? You understand the term advancing funds, right? So are you aware of any contractual obligation on TLK's part to advance expenses and costs for GBB?
I'm sorry, advance, I'm not clear on what that means. Maybe you can explain it to me.
Expenses that TLK pays to various vendors in Korea, or wherever services it obtains services.
That question is already answered.
By you.
Oh, is it? Okay. So all right, move on.
That was the practice. That's why I said that $111,000 bill.
But I guess my point is the contract doesn't require it, and certainly not the RFP.
Whether the contract requires it, that's a legal issue.
Yeah.
In terms of his belief. Yeah. I think he's answered that.
Okay. Do you know Mr. Pangolinan? Carl Pangolinan?
Yes, ma'am.
And are you friends?
He was my boss at GBB. He's the GM before.
Right. He departed on January 31st, 2015. No, 2015, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
Right. And you were at GBB at the time.
Correct.
How long did you work together, approximately?
I would say around 2 years.
Okay. What was your position then?
I was the deputy general manager.
So did you report to him?
Correct.
Okay. Do you know if he was involved, do you know what involvement he had, if any, with HIC's proposal?
He was, I think he was a presenter at the RFP presentation.
Do you know if he assisted with the preparation of the proposal?
I'm not sure.
When did you discover that he was presenting for HIC?
I wasn't there at the presentation, but it was off island, but when I returned, it was in the report.
Okay. Which report are you referring to?
Our administration will do a report of the presentations.
Okay. Do you know what that report is called?
Just a summary of the presentations.
Was that provided in the procurement record?
I'm not sure.
You're sure about
that? I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Are you aware that he's a consultant for HIC?
For the record, will you specify the time frame?
Oh. Were you aware that he was a consultant prior to presenting for HIC?
I was not.
When did you first discover that he was the consultant, a consultant for HIC?
Yeah, I don't know his exact relationship with HIC, but I do know that he presented.
And I direct you to Exhibit 10. It would be, I'm thinking, maybe 3/4 way through. And on the bottom right-hand corner, there's a bait stamp number. Starts with 188.
Okay, I found it.
Okay. And this is the evaluation report dated February 25th, 2016, prepared by Christine Mazama. Is this the documents, this memo summarized the evaluation and the presentation, correct?
Correct.
And you reviewed this?
You only reviewed it
now? No, did you review this when you received it?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
All right. And I direct you to page 3, which has a Bates number of 190 on the bottom right-hand corner.
Okay.
And you can see there's a starting little from the top, all the way down from the top, offer or happy idea company. Primary presenter, Carl Pangilina, HIC Management Consultant, Guam. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay, so you knew at least as of February 25th that he was a consultant.
I don't know if that's saying that that's the HIC Management Consultant, Guam. I don't know if that's referring to Carl as the thing, or he's with, or he's...
Well, why don't we
HIC Management is, okay, I see what you're saying.
You see that? Yeah.
Okay.
So do you agree that that basically confirms he was an HIC Management Consultant?
Like I'm saying, that's what it says, but this was, you know, written by, this was someone's interpretation.
Is that your understanding of this report? Was someone's interpretation that he was a management consultant?
Yeah, these are the notes from the meeting, right? So that's what this person listed down.
I think he's agreeing with you that, that it says that he's the HIC management consultant, but that he doesn't have personal knowledge that that's in fact true.
Okay, so do you have any reason to believe that he isn't, Mr. Pangilina was not a consultant for HIC at the time he presented?
No, ma'am.
Okay. And as a consultant, you are familiar with the RFP process that HIC was required to disclose all consultants, correct, in its proposal?
Objection, that misstates the requirement of the affidavit. The affidavit can speak for itself.
That's correct. You can argue that.
No, I'm actually asking him, do you understand the procurement? Okay, let me restate the question. Mr. DeKnight, are you familiar with the RFP process?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And generally, consultants or hired individuals who are hired to represent a proposer need to be disclosed, correct? In an affidavit called Affidavit 1.
Objection.
To the proposer. Are you aware of that?
Let her finish your question and then state your objection. Did you finish your question, Ms. Stein?
Let me just direct you to the exhibit.
Okay.
So if you look at, okay, let's go to Exhibit 1 from the top, and page number, are you there?
Yes.
It is 41.
Which one?
41, page number 41, bottom right hand corner. So this is the RFP.
Sure.
And this is the affidavit number 1 of the RFP. Correct?
Is this the affidavit disclosing ownership and commissions?
Right. And if you just scroll down to, Section A is where they would have to identify the owners of the offeror entity, if it's a company, correct?
Yes.
And then Section B states, further, I say that persons who have received or entitled to receive a commission gratuity or the compensation for procuring, assisting, obtaining business related to the bid or proposal for which this affidavit is submitted are as follows. You see that? And that is where you would disclose consultants, names of consultants, correct?
Objection. I renew the objection. That is a misstatement of the content of the affidavit. The affidavit speaks for itself. It says persons who have received or are entitled to receive a commission, etc., not simply consultants.
Okay.
The affidavit speaks for itself.
Again, remember, both of you are trying to persuade the public auditor, and she can see what the language says. But please go ahead.
Okay, I understand. Thank you. What is your understanding, Mr. DeKnight?
Yeah, persons who have received or entitled to receive commission, or whatever it says here would be my understanding.
Okay. So do you understand that a consultant for HIC who is either receiving a commission gratuity or their compensation for procuring or assisting obtaining business reviews or bid a proposal would be listed here?
If appropriate.
Okay. Are you aware if HIC listed Mr. Pendolino as one of his consultants?
I'm not aware.
You don't know. Sitting there, you don't know. After your after, do you recall exactly when the contract was awarded to HIC?
The exact date?
Approximately, if you recall.
I'm sure it's somewhere in here in the files. Do I recall the exact date? Yeah, sometime earlier this year.
Okay. I think we agree that on March 11th it was signed by HIC. That's in the record.
Yeah.
All right. So.
I think you established it earlier.
Right. I just want to just give a context.
Sure.
Are you aware whether Mr. Pangalinan has any continuing involvement with HIC with respect to this contract?
I'm not aware of that.
Okay. Are you aware of Mr. Pangalinan's involvement in any GVB activities since March 2016?
What do you mean by GVB activities?
GVB events?
Yeah, I think he's attended some of maybe of our events or.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I don't know if he's a member in GVB or not. But.
So he's attended events. Can you tell me which events?
Yeah, I can't really speak specifically.
Were you there when you saw him, or did you hear from someone else?
Yeah, I don't recall specifically.
So you don't recall seeing him at any GVB events?
What do you mean by GVB events?
Let's say GVB, let's be specific, GVB events in Korea.
Yeah, he was recently at the trade shows in Korea and Seoul in, I don't want to say, June-ish time.
Okay, what was his capacity, or what role did he play?
I'm not too sure exactly what his capacity is, but.
Who did he represent?
Yeah, maybe I think he might be helping, consulting with HIC or.
Okay, did GVB pay for his travel?
We did not pay for his travel.
Well, are you aware whether, do you know whether GVB will be billed for his travel? Is it on a reimbursement basis?
Yeah, well, so our travel goes through the board. So if GVB pays for travel, we go through the board. So that wasn't a motion for him to travel. So.
So you don't know if HIC will be giving you a bill for his travel? You don't know?
I mean,
or do you?
I don't know.
Okay. Any other events?
Not that I recall. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Ms. Tang, for my clarification, that was an open time frame, or is that a time frame since the
since March 11, 2016.
Thank you.
All right. I think that was, I did put a time frame on it. Yeah. All right. So. So I'm going to mark this as, I think, exhibit. This is the chain email, so.
How much longer the direct examination will continue? Because I know we're breaking at 12 and each gentleman is leaving out.
Do you have an estimate, Ms. Tang?
This is my last exhibit, so I have questions about that.
So would this be 36?
Do we want to call it, I think the original one was 20, right? We want to call it 28 or something like that. Or, I mean, I'm fine with either.
The other one was redacted, and this is the other redacted.
Yeah, so do we want to just call it 20A so that It makes it easier to understand.
Sure.
I'll just double check it's 20.
So whatever the other, the redacted version was, this will be the A version.
So I'm going to mark this as exhibit 28. We're going to mark this 20A, right? As
yes.
Example.
If 20, 20 was the redacted
version. Yeah, confirming if 20 was the first version.
Or maybe it's not 20. It might be 33. I'm sorry, it's 33. My mistake.
So this is 33A.
Okay,
33A.
I'm going to refer to Exhibit 33A. This is the chain email that you produced, GBB produced, on July 20th, 2016,
yep.
Correct? And it is compared to Exhibit 33, the original exhibit, this is the unredacted version.
Not correct.
Okay, then tell me what it is.
Well, no, that's what I'm trying to explain the last thing. When you print Google, if you said print all, it takes out the duplicates. So you asked me to print it in a different way to have all the things, so that's what it is.
So it, where in the Exhibit 33 where it says quoted text hidden, this actually...
Yeah, which is just the duplicate. It just keeps printing the same email over, but it's print all would just take out the duplicates. I just wanted to point that out.
Right, it wasn't redacted, it's just how it was printed out by way of the command.
Yeah.
All right, so is this the complete, for lack of a better word, unredacted email version of, that is 33A, a complete unredacted version of 33?
Is that the word unredacted?
So this is the version that shows everything that didn't show on 33.
Yeah, that's it. Yes.
Okay. Okay, I have no further questions at this time. Thank you,
Ms. Chen. Mr. Fisher, are you ready to proceed with cross-examination?
Yes, thank you very much. Good morning, Mr. Denine. I'd like to invite your attention, please, to the contract, which was marked as exhibit number 35. Could you tell me when you have that exhibit?
I have it.
Now, beginning on the second page, if you look at the top right corner, does that say page 2 of 23?
I have it open to that page.
Okay, if you look in the upper right-hand corner?
Yes.
What does that say?
GVB Korea General Sales Agent.
Okay. Does it have a date?
GSA. Yeah, October 1st, 2013.
Does it have a page number?
Page 2 of 23.
Could you look through the entirety of exhibit number 35 and tell me whether or not you have 23 pages?
I do not. It says page 15 of, it ends at 15 of 23.
So is it fair to say that pages 16 through 23 are not included in this exhibit?
I think so.
All right. If I could invite your attention, please, to the first page of exhibit number 35. And specifically, the bottom paragraph, beginning with the phrase references hereby. Do you see that?
Yes.
All right.
Sorry, what section are you on?
We're on page 1 of Exhibit 35, and I've asked the gentleman to examine the last paragraph beginning with the phrase, reference is hereby made.
Thank you.
Sir, if I could invite your attention to the second sentence of that paragraph. And could you tell me when you have located that?
I have located it.
And could you read that sentence aloud, please?
A copy of the RFP is attached as Exhibit 1-A and incorporated into this agreement.
All right. Could you read the next sentence, please?
The scope and nature of the work to be performed by the contractor are also set forth in its proposal submitted to GVB by contractor in response to the RFP, a copy of which is attached hereto as Exhibit 1-B and made part of hereof.
All right. Thank you. In your examination and questions about Exhibit Number 35, were you provided a copy of the RFP with this contract?
I was not.
And just to clarify, do you see an Exhibit 1-A?
I do not.
Do you see attached to Exhibit 35 the proposal submitted by TLK Marketing?
I do not.
And to wrap that up, is there an Exhibit 1-Bravo provided with this contract?
There is not.
Sir, is it accurate to say that what you were provided and examined on is not the entirety of the contract between the Guam Visitors Bureau and TLK Marketing?
Yes.
I wanted to ask you some general questions about the Guam Visitors Bureau's business in regard to this Korea representation services. We've heard the phrase out-of-pocket expense. Could you explain to us what an out-of-pocket expense is?
Yeah, so the out-of-pocket expense would be, you know, for example, if the contractor paid for a trade show booth, they would pay the fees related to the booth, to building the booth, and then we would reimburse them for those paid expenses. Advertising expenses, so forth.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to ask a more general question. Yeah. What is it that the representative providing these services does in Korea for the Guam Visitors Bureau?
Our marketing representatives, they help us promote Guam as a destination in that market, which involves working with travel agents, airlines, and then also doing public relation activities, some advertising.
Okay, well, let me drill down a little bit. What is it, for example, that they do with the travel agent?
So they have different programs. They create marketing co-op programs or do travel agent event outreach trainings, other things like that.
All right. Recently, I think it was in the Pacific Daily News, I saw solicitations published by the Guam Visitors Bureau, I think, for the same services in Russia and the Philippines?
Correct.
I guess what I'm getting at is, do you have these sorts of programs in different geographic locations?
Yes, we have programs in most of our main source markets, Japan, Korea, Taiwan, okay. China.
Now, we had heard earlier that the Guam Visitors Bureau is invoiced for performance and then you pay as a result of the invoice.
Correct.
Does that happen in other geographic regions?
Yes, it does.
Could you tell us why? In other words, why do you have that process? They pay first, then you reimburse.
Objection to the form of the question. There was a question about receiving an invoice and then paying, and then now we rephrase it. Why do you pay first? Why do we get proof of payment first? I don't think we've established that receiving the invoice was the same thing as saying that the bill had been paid. I'd ask you to rephrase that.
Okay. I'm not real sure. I'm not sure I get the objection, but let me try it again. Okay.
Invoice versus one payment. I think it was the OPA's question earlier.
Yeah.
Receiving an invoice as opposed to proof of payment. I think you've conflated the two in the question.
Okay. When you receive an invoice, then, what do you understand that invoice, when you receive an invoice from a vendor, such as TLK Marketing? What do you, as Guam Visitors Bureau, understand that invoice to mean?
Yeah, well, we receive the invoice from for example, our contractor, but then it, when they're in that invoice, if it contains, for example, when that one we saw, a retainer fee is their retainer fee, and they're getting that for the services they provide. The other services that they ask for, they provide invoices from other subcontractors, those are for reimbursement that they have paid the contractor and are now asking to be reimbursed for that.
All right, and I'm just gonna repeat that point then, or ask you to repeat it. You said reimbursement. What do you mean by reimbursement?
Reimbursement that they have already paid, you know, they have paid these contractors, and now they're submitting that to us for reimbursement, hence out-of-pocket expense.
You had mentioned, I think, that TLK Marketing had been performing these services for a number of years. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with the Guam Visitors Bureau and TLK's performance of the contract?
Specifically?
Well, what they did.
Yes.
Are you also familiar with how GBB paid TLK Marketing?
I am.
And you're general manager of the Guam Visitors Bureau, correct?
Correct.
Could you tell us what the Guam Visitors Bureau's understanding of the contract, what it required as for payment?
Direction has to inform. Is he asking about the witness's understanding?
Right,
I mean, how do you ask the company's understanding?
Did you mean Mr. Denight's understanding on behalf of GBB?
Yes, because he is general manager of the Guam Visitors Bureau.
On your capacity as GBB general manager, what's your understanding?
Yeah, my understanding is, as I explained, is that, you know, on the out-of-pocket reimbursements, they submit the invoice requesting for these reimbursements. Our assumption is that they've all been paid, and that they also provide supporting documents to that extent of the invoice from the subcontractor attached to those supporting documents, and what other supporting documents are needed for processing.
Okay. In regard to, I'm going to open-ended question, in regard to TLK and GBB, was there a time when you discovered that TLK had not paid its vendors?
Yeah, as I mentioned previously, when it was brought to our attention by our oversight chair, Senator Tina Mooney Barnes, she had received some letters from, I believe they were travel agents in Korea, and she forwarded those letters to our office. And those letters generally saying that they had performed some work for TLK representing GBB in Korea and had not been paid for months and maybe a year, for several months.
Did this, when you came to learn this from Senator Barnes, did it come to you as a surprise?
It did.
Tell us why it was a surprise.
Well, you know, after receiving the letters, you know, of course, we want to respond to the senator's concern, and so when we, you know, researched, I had my team research, and they saw that, hey, we had already paid these. TLK had invoiced us for these, and they've been paid several months back. And so why aren't they getting paid?
May I ask a question? So, I mean, prior to getting that notice, I mean, how do you know that TLK wasn't invoicing for vendors that TLK itself was waiting to pay throughout its... Because TLK was working with GBB for, what, 8 years?
Yes, sir.
So how do you know that that wasn't TLK's regular course of business to bill GBB for invoices that came from vendors? And then then TLK would wait for payment and then pay the vendors.
So say that was the case?
I mean, do you know whether or not they were doing that for now, and that's what their understanding was?
I mean, I can't really speak to their understanding about the process, but I think we're clear in our process, as our legal counsel was mentioning, that's our process for all the other markets.
Well,
all the other contractors, so, yeah.
The reason I ask is because this discovery was it after they filed the protest?
I'm just trying to recall when the letters we received from Senator Barnes.
But they're at the end of the contract period, right?
It was early in this year, so I don't know if it was before or after, but generally in the similar time period.
So what I'm trying to understand is, was TLK, was it giving GVB invoices for vendors that it had not yet been paid because TLK expected to pay them when it itself received payment?
Yeah, and if you took that example, for example, a show, specific, I'm thinking about one of the travel trade shows called BITF.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, because we do trade shows around the world in all the markets, you normally pay before the show, and that's the general practice, right? Before the show, they won't pay it. In that case, we had paid TLK. You know, they had invoiced us for the show. We had paid TLK, and it's not like they paid a month later or 2 months later. This we're talking about almost a year later that they're paying the show. Almost, we're going to the show next year, and they still haven't, we're planning for this next year show, and they haven't paid them. So, I mean, I think either way is not the right way to do business. I mean, that's our understanding that we're going to bill and then pay after, which is not our understanding, but if they did that, then you should pay your subcontractor shortly after, right? We're paying in 30 days, you think they would pay. You wouldn't wait 9 months to a year to pay. I mean, that's not right either. So I think either way is not proper business.
Thanks.
Just to follow up on his line of question,
yes, ma'am.
Questioning, up until, let's say, this last year, was there any similar incidents in the past? Because if you have I'm not sure how long TLK has. Do you know approximately how long TLK has been with
TLK? About 8 years, ma'am. I think 8 years.
Okay. So, to the best of your knowledge, with exception of this last year or whatever this, because this is the first time that it came to your attention through Senator Barnes, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So prior to that incident, were there any similar incidents in the past to your knowledge or from your marketing people?
Not to our knowledge.
Okay. So the incident.
Not to my knowledge.
So the incident raised by Senator Barnes was the first time.
To my knowledge.
To your knowledge. Who would know further if there was any similar incidents in the past?
You could speak to, I guess, to, I think Gina would be.
Gina would know?
Would know.
Would know better.
Yeah, Gina, or, I don't know if Pilar is a witness, but.
Yeah. I don't think she's a witness. Okay, all right. So, but at least as far as during your time, and how long have you been with GVB now in total?
I've been total 5 years.
5 years.
As the GM.
Okay, but in that 5 years, which you were the deputy and then now the GM, this is the first time you've heard of this incident with TLK.
Yes, ma'am.
Correct. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher.
Okay, thank you very much. Can you recount for us what happened after you learned of these accusations arising from Senator Barnes' office?
Specifically, what
did you take any action? What happened?
Yeah, as I mentioned, I think the first thing was to go back and, why haven't these, why haven't these invoices been paid? Did we pay for these? So we did that work, and then we saw that, okay, this is. This is when we were billed for them. This is when we paid, and so we kind of did that work. Then we spoke with TLK, and brought it to their attention. And then they paid some of those invoices.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So you heard this from Senator Barnes, and then
sorry.
And then.
Sure.
You heard this from
sorry.
Oh, sorry. you heard this from Senator Barnes, and then what happened?
Yeah, so we researched and looked into the matter.
Did you ever bring it up to, did you ever bring it up to TLK's attention?
Yeah, yes, we did. We asked them what was going on. They did respond, and it was very, very short.
Do you remember what the response was?
It was like, I don't know exactly. I know we did get an email response. It was very, didn't really go into detail.
Do you know whether or not TLK ever paid those vendors?
I think they did go ahead and pay some of them.
Was this before or after you brought it to their attention?
After.
The public auditor brought up some of these invoices that we saw might be quite hefty, pushing up towards $100,000. And the auditor made the observation that that's quite a weight, I guess, for a small business to carry. Are your vendors, Philippines, Taiwan, Russia, and Korea, are they required to make these out of expenses paid first?
Yes, sir.
Even though they might be $100,000?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it depends on the market. In Japan, it's even more.
How much more?
In the millions of dollars. Yeah.
Okay. How much is this contract worth? I mean, what is the reimbursement that it's made over a year?
I want to say one. Retainer and out-of-pocket?
I know it's a soft number, I assume, but how much? Can you ballpark it?
Yeah, it's over $1 million.
Okay. I thought it was over two. I thought it was over two.
No, I mean the total Korea budget, and then I think this contract is 1.2 to 1.4.
Oh, okay. Okay. On an annual basis.
The Guam Visitors Bureau engages in numerous, is it fair to say, numerous solicitations throughout a fiscal year?
Yes.
Or some are invitations for bid?
Correct.
And some are requests for proposal?
That's correct.
Do you do small purchases also?
Yes.
In the course of your 5 years with the Guam Visitors Bureau, have you... in your estimation, have you gained some familiarity with the procurement law?
Yes.
I want to ask you a question about your understanding of the procurement law.
Okay.
May the Guam Visitors Bureau pay in advance for a good or a service?
To my understanding, no.
And what is that understanding based on?
My experience and working with my administration team, we don't pay in advance. That's kind of the bottom line.
And that's true for services?
Correct.
And goods?
Correct.
So if you needed to buy a half ton of water for the Cocoa Road Race or something, you wouldn't pay for that in advance?
Yeah, they would deliver the water and then we would make the payment.
You received some questions from TLK Marketing about Mr. Carl Pangalina. Do you recall those?
Yes.
Well, I mean, frankly, the insinuation is that Carl used to work there, and then you guys threw the contract to HIC because of his past relationship with TGB. That's the insinuation.
Objection. In states.
I'm not sure I know how to rephrase. I think that was an accurate characterization of the line of questioning and purpose. My follow-up, the actual question to them was, did the Guam Visitors Bureau in any way favor. Happy Idea Company because of Mr. Carl Pangolinan's relationship in the past with Guam Visitors Bureau.
If I may, just on that objection, I understand the difficulty in wanting to rephrase, but insinuations aside, or suggested insinuations aside, there is an actual statute that just simply talks about the relationship existing or not existing and a time period on that. So the statute itself doesn't actually make an insinuation, so I think the question can be rephrased.
So, Ms. Tang, insofar as you may be characterizing your questions, we understand what your questions were. They're on the record. Mm-hmm. Mr. Fisher, I guess, is asking his question based upon his belief as to what those questions reflect, but
yeah, we're the characterization, but please proceed.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Would you like me to rephrase the latter half of that question?
You can answer the question as he asked it if you remember it.
Could you restate it?
Sure.
No, I'm confused.
Because of Carl Pangolinan's relationship, I suppose with yourself and with the Guam Visitors Bureau in the past, did the Guam Visitors Bureau in any way favor Happy Idea Company, because it was Carl?
No.
All right. There have been accusations leveled at the Guam Visitors Bureau that the Guam Visitors Bureau colluded with an unnamed person or entity to deprive TLK Marketing of a right to protest. Did that happen?
Dresham misstates TLK's position. TLK statement was there was no unknown entity. It was
okay.
Parties within GVB and HIC parties.
Okay, and I'll rephrase it.
It's okay. Just answer the question.
One time?
Yes.
What was the question?
Very small.
There have been an accusation leveled that the Guam Visitors Bureau colluded with a person or entity within the Guam Visitors Bureau or at Happy Idea Company in regard to this request for proposal to deprive TLK Marketing of their right to protest. Do you understand that?
I understand your question.
Okay. Could you respond to the question?
No, not to my knowledge.
Okay, so, all right.
So your response is there was no collusion to deprive TLK of the ability to protest?
Correct.
Is that the question?
Yes. All right. Sir, you still have the exhibits in front of you, right?
Yes.
Okay, could you look at, it's just exhibit one, right there on the top, of course. By the way, you've been on the stand an hour and a half. Does he need a break?
Well, I think he's finishing.
We need to finish. Okay, we need to finish.
Okay.
I'm okay, thank you.
All right, so I want to bring you to exhibit one, and then invite your attention to paragraph 2.0. There's a date stamp in the bottom right-hand corner. I think it's at page 28. And then just when you've located that, just look up.
Okay.
All right. I think we've all found it then. Paragraph 2.0 is within section 2 of this request for proposal. Is that correct?
Correct.
And again, paragraph 2.0. Can you have a look at that?
Yes.
Okay, and this is for evaluation process.
Uh-huh.
Can you read that aloud?
Sure. Selection of the best qualified offeror will be based on the qualifications, experience, and commitment of the offeror's lead and support individuals proposed for this RFP and the offeror's plan of action. GVB plans to negotiate a contract with the best qualified offeror for the required services at a compensation rate determined in writing to be fair and reasonable.
Okay, thank you. What I'm going to do here, just give you a roadmap, is I'm going to have you compare the language here with Happy Idea Company's actual proposal, and that is going to be located at the agency procurement record, volume 2 at tab C. And
so, so you know, we're advising witness Pangolin to come back at 3.
Okay. Judge, for the purpose of giving, just make clear, because there are two protests filed here, one at OPA PA 16-005, and the prior one was at 003. They're identical. So, unfortunately, we're all burdened with two sets of procurement records. So I'm going to hand Mr. Tonight mine, which is OPA PA 16-00, in property mark 6, but 5.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure what he's handing him.
Yes, it's...
That's not a, I don't know, this your own file, like.
This is the agency procurement record that was filed with answer.
And what's the caption for OPA, OPA PA 16-00?
6 or 5 or 3?
Yeah, which one?
TLK Marketing Company Limited versus Guam Visitors Bureau.
And they're all identical?
They are identical. Yeah. Well, no, that's not quite accurate, because 005 contains the supplements that were filed for 003.
But with respect to
the
section
time.
C,
yes.
That will be the same. Ms. Tang, do you need
yes,
an opportunity?
May I just review it?
Right. Sure.
What volume is that?
That is
volume 2.
Volume 2, I think that is.
I understand that the government, a GBB, submitted exhibits, but I don't think they actually served
1603?
Copies of exhibits that
right,
we served on our party. So they just gave an exhibit list, but we were not served with an actual exhibit list, exhibit documents. Just
okay. Is there a concern though about this specific document?
Yeah, but I have electronic copies of it, but I think that only pulling ours. But I think that's I think that should be. So I find this process of pulling his own personal records and giving to the witness a little, you know, in the middle of a hearing when he should have served us with a copy of what he's going to use. We didn't get served with exhibits. We just got an exhibit list.
Does TLK not have a copy of the agency procurement record?
We do have it, but, you know, I don't know what he's offering.
So I think that's what he's focusing on now. If we get to an exhibit that, I mean, remember the parties were required to meet and confer and try to come up with stipulations regarding admissible evidence, right? So
he refused.
Yes.
The second time.
That is, I'm sorry, but that is wholly inaccurate.
Well, we don't need to get there now. I'm just saying that that's something the parties were directed to do. We're on an exhibit now that doesn't appear to be in controversy yet. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So let's.
And you are referring to which exhibit? What's
would,
the nature of your exhibit?
In volume 2, it would be Happy Idea Company's proposal.
Oh, so that's not in dispute.
Okay.
And just so I can confuse matters a little bit, I'm going to change tack on the question here. I'm just going to circle back to something I'd forgotten to bring up. Okay, so if we could put that aside. Exhibit number 35, this is the contract. I want to get to this before, I see that we've only got about 20 minutes left, and I want to move along. And I apologize for the confusion. And
yes.
Were you able to locate that?
The contract, I have it here.
Yeah, could we go to page 3 of the contract? There are actually two subparagraphs I'd like to ask you about.
Sure.
Paragraph Delta, approval of projects, and paragraph Echo, invoices.
Yes. Sorry, just
so he's.
Oh, you're talking about the contract.
Yes.
Yeah, he digressed. So he's on page 3 and looking at sections.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Got it.
All right. There's a section here called approval of projects. I'm not going to ask you to read that aloud, but could you review that real quickly? And then just look up when you're done. It uses the phrase recovery promotions or projects. What is a project?
Well,
What is a project?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it could be numerous marketing sales activities.
Is this the activity that is performed by these representatives?
Correct.
Okay, that would be a project. Now, if I could ask you to look at paragraph E, invoices.
Yes.
It says, a contractor shall submit invoices itemized in U.S. currency within 30 days following completion of projects approved by GVB. Do you see that?
Yes.
Does that mean that GVB pays after the project is completed?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And that's in the contract?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. And I apologize for jumping around a little bit there. All right. Now I'd like to bring you back to volume two, tab C.
He didn't get it.
Oh, he didn't get it yet? May I approach?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I just confirm the title of the document, please? No, just say tab C, please.
Tab C.
Oh, that one. All right.
Response to, I'll just read that into the record. Tab C is a response to request for proposals for GVB RFP 2016-006. And this is submitted by Happy Idea Company, HIC. Mr. Denight, a moment ago I'd asked you about Exhibit 1, which was the RFP itself. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And I'd asked you to read for us Section 2.0, which said that the selection of the best qualified offeror will be based upon qualifications, experience, and commitment of the offeror's lead and support individuals. Do you recall that?
Yes.
All right. Could I then bring you to in tab C, the actual offer. And this is, and I'm going to ask you to look at page 22 of that. I'm going to give you a moment to look at that.
Just to confirm, this is the original document page, not a base number page.
Right. And then if you could just look up when you've located that. And just as a
22?
Yes, ma'am. And just to cross-check, make sure we're all on the same page. This page in volume two is entitled Staff Qualifications and Past Performance. Is that the page you have?
Yes.
Okay. And I'll give Ms. Tang a moment to find it.
No, I'm here. We're here.
Okay. Do you see an individual named, in a photograph of an individual named Mr. Don Park?
I do.
In this, what I'll characterize as a short biography of Mr. Park, does it speak to his experience in the field of public relations and anything else, I suppose?
Objection, lack of personal knowledge. If you want to read what's in there, I think that the document speaks for itself.
And it'll be allowed. Go ahead and... brief questioning regarding this.
Do you want me to repeat the question, Mr. Denner?
Well, I'll just read. He has close to 15 years of experience in the field of public relations.
Okay, so
a track record of designing and executing marketing and PR campaigns at both the local and national level.
So this, it's fair to say that this document does have a recitation of Mr. Park's experience.
It does.
Is it your understanding that Mr. Park is a CEO and related to Happy Idea Company?
Yes.
I'd like to invite your attention to Mr. Jacob Yoon, who's identified as an account director.
Okay.
Does that refer anywhere to his length of experience?
Yeah, it talks the last line. He also has more than 10 years of experience in managing publishing industry in Guam, which helped him gain a good understanding of the island.
Objection. To the extent that he's asking about his personal knowledge, he should have HIC witness here talking about themselves, not through the GVB manager, who has not it has not laid a foundation for personal knowledge regarding these individuals' experience, if that's what they're trying to get at.
I think the question was misunderstood. I was asking whether or not it said that.
It'll be a lot. I mean, there's a degree of latitude, and it's been given to both parties thus far regarding evidentiary issues.
Thank you. And what about a Ms. Kim, who is identified as a sales manager? Does this document speak to her experience?
And one other comment before you answer. Again, Ms. Tang and Mr. Fisher, remember, it's the public auditor who's going to be making the decision, and she will decide whether or not, you know, she understands what your question is asking and what the document says.
Okay.
Yeah, it says she is a deputy general manager at HIC specializing in travel and has, for the past 5 years, she has successfully organized a number of MICE trips overseas for clients, particularly Korea's leading conglomerates.
What is a MICE trip?
MICE is an acronym. There's a lot of acronyms in the travel industry. This one stands for meetings, incentives, conferences, and expos. Basically, business travel.
Okay. Just addressing these three individuals and addressing what is stated in this request for proposal. Do these individuals have 5 or more years of experience?
Yes.
Okay. And these people are associated with Happy Idea Company?
Correct.
All right. Could I ask you to look at Exhibit 7 that was, submitted by TLK Marketing? And these questions are going to go to what the board did as to regard the contract.
And Mr. Fisher, with respect to this exhibit, there was a prior objection. Now withdrawn?
Was there an objection to this one?
I think it was regarding the accuracy of the
transcript.
Okay. Yes, I'm going to be using it. I'm going to withdraw that objection.
Okay. Thank you.
There's a speaker, I suppose, identified as I am at the beginning. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. Does he in this make a motion?
He does.
Okay. And what is the motion?
Do you want me to read the motion?
Yes, please.
So, motion to recommend board approval to authorize the GBB general manager as chief procurement officer to enter into negotiation and contract with the highest rate and most qualified offer for GBB RFP 2016-006 tourism marketing destination marketing representation service in the Republic of Korea.
Sorry. Okay. This is a similar exercise to what we just did with the other two documents. I guess stick a pen in there or keep your finger on Exhibit 7. And now I'd like to bring you to Exhibit 1, paragraph 2.4 at base stamp page 30.
Yes.
Could you look at paragraph 2.4 and read it silently to yourself and then just look up when you're finished?
Done.
Okay. And then do you see the last sentence beginning with the phrase, the general manager?
Yes.
In your estimation, the requirement of RFP paragraph 2.4, was that carried out by this motion made by a Mr. N?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. I'm going to ask you some questions now having to do with the vendors. There was Promac, Edelman, TLK, HIC, whether or not the notices that were sent to them.
Okay.
copy. And I would ask you to look at...
Before we get there, may I ask Mr. Denight a question?
Yes, sir.
So Exhibit 7, the in-motion was to authorize the GM to negotiate and contract. 2.4 says GM shall then request Board of Directors approval to enter into negotiations. Do you know whether or not it authorized you to contract?
Which did? The board?
The board moved.
The board
says
to. The
motion was to authorize you to contract.
Yeah, enter into negotiation and contract with the highest rating.
Do you know whether or not the RFP allowed you to contract? With board approval?
I guess my point is this was the board approval. The motion?
Mm-hmm. The reason I bring it up, I think, if I'm TLK, I think, is arguing that you didn't have the authority to contract.
And I think that's why Attorney Fisher brought up this motion and pointed out that it says enter into negotiation and contract.
Okay, in support of you having the authority to contract?
Yeah, I think that's basically what the motion says.
Okay, thank you.
May I follow up on the question of the hearing officer? Does the board, and I said this previously and just as a reminder, the general, in like GPA and GWA, the general manager is authorized to approve anything up to, I believe, $250,000. Anything beyond that, even though it's approved by a budget, even though the budget's annually approved, and still, if the contract, is greater than $250,000, and even though it is approved in principle because of the
budget,
yes, the general manager still has to go back to the board for approval because it exceeds his authority. Is there such a similar process within GVB?
No, ma'am.
So you could sign a contract for $1 million without board approval?
If it was in the budget, approved by the board.
Okay. Yeah. So unlike GPA that has limit, the board does not give you a limitation.
In respect to negotiating that contract, I'm only limited by the budget.
By the budget.
Yeah.
Your limitation is only the budget and not the contractual amount.
Correct.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Please, thank you.
If I could follow up on the public auditor's question. Hypothetically, if the budget for Korea was $1 million, yet the contract that you negotiated and with the other party thought was fair was $1.5 million, would you then have to go back to the board?
Correct.
Is that because it exceeded the $1 million cap?
Yes.
What if the contract was for $999,000?
Then I guess that would be okay.
Is that because it's under the cap?
Yes.
Okay. If I could ask you, I'm going to approach with the hearing officer's approval,
yes,
or permission. I'm going to hand you volume one of the agency procurement record, and this is TLK Marketing versus Guam Visitors Bureau, OPA PA 16-005. And I'll go ahead and retrieve volume two from you.
Volume one of what?
This is OPA PA 16-005.
Oh.
What volume, Mr. Fisher?
I have handed the witness volume number
six,
one.
It's really five.
Okay.
Yes, I apologize. I mismarked that. It should say five. I put six. I think that was because it was the RFP number. Could I invite your attention to tab Q, as in Quebec, of employee one.
Okay.
What is that document?
Tab Q?
Yes.
It's a letter from myself to Mr. Sedong Park.
All right. And who is Mr. Sedong Park?
It says here he's the CEO and president of Happy Idea Company, HIC Incorporated.
And the date of that letter, please?
March 9th, 2016.
What is the purpose of that letter?
This letter is regarding GDB RFP 2016-006, Tourism Destination Market Representative Services in the Republic of Korea. It is the notice of award.
Okay. Well, just to cut to the chase, does this tell HIC they won?
It's the notice of award.
Notice of award? Okay. All right, I won't put words in your mouth. Could I invite your attention then to the next exhibit, which is Romeo's? Do you see that?
Yes.
Tell me, what is the date of this letter?
March 10th, 2016.
And to whom is it addressed?
To Mr. Henry Hunso Lee, president of TLK Marketing, LTD.
And what is the purpose of this exhibit, Romeo?
This is in regard to the same RFP, and this is a notice of non-selection.
And could, in tab Romeo, look at the second page of tab Romeo.
Yes.
What is that?
This is a summary of the evaluations of the Korea RFP.
Okay. Does it include scores or a ranking of evaluations?
Yes, it does.
Is HIC indicated as a participant in this?
Yes, they are.
This solicitation. And a company called Edelman?
Yes, they are.
TLK?
Yes.
And Promac?
Yes.
Is there anywhere in this grid that is on this page that indicates the scores that the various participants received?
Yes, the scores are indicated on this page.
Does it anywhere indicate who the recipient of the highest score was?
Yes, the highest score was HIC with a total of 366 points.
Now, as to Promac, does it indicate a score?
Yes, their score was 343.
Is it fair to say that Promac received a lesser score than HIC?
Yes.
In your estimation, could a person who received this based on this table have discovered where their ranking was?
Yes.
I'd like to invite your attention to Exhibit Sierra, next in order. And do you see Exhibit Sierra?
Yes.
Could you tell, oh, by the way, what is the date on this one?
March 10th, 2016.
And to whom is it addressed?
Mr. Robert Sun, President and CEO of Promac Partnerships Company, LTD.
And what is the purpose of this March 10th letter to Promac?
It's a notice of non-selection for the Korea RFP.
Okay, and then if I could invite your attention to the second page of Sierra. And just let me know when you see that.
I'm there.
Okay. I asked you some questions earlier about these other companies, Edelman, HIC, TLK, and Promac. Do you recall those questions?
Yes.
Could a recipient of this letter that we're looking at in Sierra, could they determine based on this table what their ranking was?
Yes.
Okay. And that was from March 10th?
That's correct.
All right, and very quickly, if we could just look at Exhibit Tango, next in order. And if you could, same question. What is this letter, and to whom is it addressed, and what is the date?
Sure. It's March 10th, 2016. The letter is to Sung Bin Jang, Managing Director of Edelman Korea, also regarding the Korea RFP Notice of Non-Selection.
All right, and if you look at the second page of Tango, the same question I've asked you before. Could a recipient of this letter have determined what the recipient's ranking was?
Yes.
Okay. And this was March 10th as well, right?
Correct.
Okay. Do you recall when the TLK's contract was to expire? Was it the end of the month?
Yes.
March, correct. Could I invite your attention then to tab Victor? And just let me know when you found that.
I found it.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to drag you through this entire thing. HIC received a notice to proceed, right?
Correct.
Okay. Isn't it a fact that the notice to proceed was about 2 weeks prior to the expiration of TLK's contract?
That's correct.
Okay. I apologize, we've gone a little bit past noon, but I have no further questions.
I have one.
Okay.
Mr. DeKnight?
Yes, ma'am.
Has during your tenure as Deputy GM and GM of GVB, have you or anyone else at GVB ever initiated a debarment proceeding against one of your contractors over a billing dispute?
I can only speak as my time as the GM.
AGM, Deputy GM or GM?
Well, the DGM doesn't really handle the procurement side, so. Are you asking my general knowledge?
Yes.
Yeah, answer that as to general knowledge.
General knowledge. Not to my knowledge.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll recess here until 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
And may this witness be excused?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
And we'll start with Mr. Pagalina.
I assume so.
Thank you,
yes.
Mr.
Yes,
may I ask how long we're going to go today?
How long are you going to be?
So we have Mr. Pangolin, and I don't know how long his cross is going to be.
I've
got to
go by
5:15.
And then we're available all day tomorrow.
Why don't we finish with Mr. Pangolin, and then we start with Gina fresh tomorrow?
So even if it's earlier than 5:15?
Even if it's earlier than you think?
I just don't know.
Keep
her waiting. I mean, okay, 3 o'clock.
You think it'll be more than 2 hours?
Because it depends on who's questioning too.
Well,
I don't know.
You guys can iron it. I gotta go.
Okay. All right.
We're off the record at 12:04 p.m.